This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, Bon Jovi, You Give Love a Bad Name. Why are we playing that? Well, because Sia and Gugu had never heard of it before. They didn't know this song existed, so we took trouble to educate them, right, Leanne?
Yeah.
What the hell?
We'll have to ask them if they enjoyed that.
That's right. All right. So lots of people are sending in messages for this morning. Let's just get to a few of these before we get into some news. Tabor says, Leanne, please, the psychic knew last week already that she was going to be on the show. Don't you know anything? So that's a good point from Tabor. Another point, very good point. This is from Richard, who says, hey, Sia, I saw you on Tinder on Sunday in Cape Town. How come you didn't swipe right, bitch? Don't you like white meat?
Oh, my God. Sounds like prison talk.
Whoa. That's hilarious. Sia's just stepped out quickly to go to the loo, but when he gets back, we'll definitely refer to that. Thank you, Richard. Keeping an eye on our Sia. Yeah, what is it, Gugu?
So Sia goes all the way to Cape Town,
yes,
and he starts scouting, but he doesn't tell us.
Why? Well, why should he?
Because I should.
None of our
business. Whenever I'm scouting.
No, he doesn't have to.
No, but you know, we're family over
here. Sia keeps quite a lot private, and he's entitled to. Don't fight with him. You'll end up on the wrong side. And trust me, you being on the wrong side of Sia is not a good thing for you.
Says he's going to punch me in the throat. I don't believe that, though.
Sia can be vus. He can be very, very vus. You don't want to upset the guy. All right, so, Leanne, let's get into some stories.
Yes.
There's so much to talk about. Sia, did you hear that from Richard? Richard said he saw you on Tinder in Cape Town over the weekend. How come you didn't swipe right, bitch? Don't you like white meat?
it's like prison talk, man.
It's so vicious.
Richard, that's so violent.
Richard, I think Sia's allowed to choose whoever he wants, all right? I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but you don't get to... You don't get to tell him who to swipe right with.
Wait, can you open up Richard's picture up there?
Let me see.
Let me squint at it. Do I remember?
Okay, hang on a second.
Ah, Richard! Yeah, don't worry, I have your number now.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
So no, Richard, I didn't see you.
Like you after all. But you might have paid more attention if you'd seen what he looked like.
Yeah,
you happy with that?
Well, you know, I'm superficial.
Super superficial. In fact, the word superficial was invented for Sia. Don't worry, Richard, you'll get yours. All right.
Have your number, it's fine.
Let's move on.
Okay, the latest in the Prince Andrew saga, where he's now being labeled Andy Handy.
Handy
Andy.
Oh. It's terrible. Isn't it just terrible?
This is, of course, with his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
He now, according to an ex-employee of Jeffrey Epstein...
Yes.
The pedo financier.
Guys,
so bad.
Prince Andrew attended naked pool parties and was massaged by adolescent girls. And of course, there's this photograph that's in all of these stories of Prince Andrew with his arm around one of the alleged victims, Virginia Guifre.
Sure, with a name like that.
So more pictures have emerged of him of Prince Andrew on a yacht.
Yeah.
Where there are topless girls surrounding him.
Oh, nice.
That was in Phuket in 2001. That was with Epstein and more friends.
I don't want to cause trouble here, but being on a yacht with naked women is most guys' fantasies. Most guys fantasize about that. I hate to break it to everybody.
But
the fact that these are underage girls is the problem. Mm. Like, don't... you know, there's probably a bunch of billionaires now going, oh my God, what's the point of being a billionaire if we can't have naked girls on a yacht? And I agree. But you can't do it with underage girls, dude.
Ooh.
Am I right?
Mm.
Like, let's keep it tidy, please.
How crazy is it that there's so much evidence around this as well? Who was sitting on this photo of Prince Andrew
for so many years?
In 2001?
Exactly.
And now it all pops up.
I've been holding on. Well, you see, now, of course, it's all out there. And now it's going to get very messy for Prince Andrew. He's going to have a tough time.
Yeah, I mean, he's already denied wrongdoing.
Uh-huh.
But there's just more and more stuff coming out. Apparently, he had sex 3 times with this Virginia girl.
And remember how much shit he gave Fergie when she had her toes sucked?
Yes.
All those years ago when
Prince,
you know, when Fergie was Duchess of York, and she got her toes sucked by some billionaire, And everyone in the royal family is like, oh, Fergie, you're so disgusting. You're a terrible human being. You're the worst.
Meanwhile,
back at the ranch, Andrew's having sex with everyone, and he's not a problem. It's pure hypocrisy, right? Mm. Horrible, horrible stuff. That royal family got a lot of splaining to do. You got some splaining to do.
Yeah. In the meantime, a couple of celebrities, specifically Ellen DeGeneres.
Is Ellen involved? What?
Oh, please tell me. Ellen didn't get involved.
No. And Elton John.
Elton John?
Oh, Jesus. All Sia's heroes.
No, they have come up in defense of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
Oh,
Okay, so what happened was Meghan Markle and Prince Harry...
I can still keep their posters up in my room.
...took a trip to Nice in France, where they visited Elton John at his estate.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They were photographed along with baby Archie taking a private jet to Elton's home, sparking a social media frenzy. Why? Because they are an eco-friendly couple. Okay.
Yeah.
So coming to their defense, Elton, who was very close with Princess Diana, Harry's mom, has fired back at critics. He says, I'm deeply distressed by today's distorted and malicious account in the press surrounding the Duke and Duchess of Sussex's private stay at my home in Nice last week. Prince Harry's mother, Diana, Princess of Wales, was one of my dearest friends. I feel a profound sense of obligation to protect Harry and his family from the unnecessary press intrusion.
Yeah, but Elton, what has it got to do with the... That's not what they're saying. They're not saying he can't visit you, and they're not saying Meghan can't visit you.
He went on to say that their flight was carbon neutral.
Yeah, well, it wasn't.
Well,
how could it be? You know, like, just admit the part that you're responsible for. See, this is the problem I have with some, and I got a great email, which I've still got to get to, from someone who says, oh, no, I'm a climate change denier. I have never, ever said human beings aren't affecting the climate. Of course they are, and we're affecting it extremely badly. And it's going horribly wrong, and it's because of humans, right? We are ruining this planet. I absolutely agree with that. But these climate change fundamentalists, they're like religious people.
Extremists.
Yeah, and they're such hypocrites because all of them, Leo DiCaprio, Elton John, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, none of them are cutting down their flights. They all fly in private jets and they go anywhere they want. They don't give a damn about their carbon footprint. Frankly, if you're a real environmentalist, you're not allowed to have children. Because a child, that means...
You're contributing to the
population. That means a whole life of carbon footprints that you're adding. You're not allowed to be an environmentalist and have seven children. You can't. I'm sorry. It's just not allowed. And don't give me trouble because I'm saying, well, actually, there's still some very valid questions around precisely what impact humans have on the environment. And that's, I think, a very valid point to make.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm a climate change denier.
No, absolutely. There are points when it becomes ridiculous.
Thank you, Leanne. I knew you'd back me up on this.
Well, look, just, yeah, you are right, Gareth. Just face up on what you do, because they do.
Yeah.
I read a stat once that said one trip on a private jet is the equivalent of driving a Hummer for a year.
Right.
I remember when Hummers came out and they're like, oh my gosh.
And all these climate change people can't wait to label ordinary poor people in India and China as being climate terrorists, right? All they say is, oh, you know, you're ruining the economy, you're ruining the climate, you're destroying the world. Meanwhile, look at them with their private jets and their gas guzzlers, and none of them live without electricity. So they're all using the same stuff, but they get away with it. It's okay if it comes from them, right? Unbelievable.
Mm.
Complete hypocrisy.
Throwing stones in glass houses.
Correct.
Glass castles.
Well, in Harry's case, yeah. A couple of castles, yeah.
Well, right. Even in Sir Elton's case as well.
They're hanging out with Elton John, hey? Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Besties.
Yeah, right.
Well, they do have a lot in common. And also, Elton does have a bit of a, I don't want to say father role.
Do you think
in their
does?
Lives? Well, Sir Elton was friends with Lady Diana.
Yeah.
And was there from when the princes were young.
You know how you know Elton was friends with Diana? Because he can't wait to tell you.
Because he sings about it.
And he sings about it all the time. All the time.
One of my favorite performances.
Goodbye, Norman Jean. Oh, no, it was Goodbye, Princess Di.
English Rose.
Whatever.
And he says he'll never perform that song that way again.
Oh, I'm just heartbroken. I mean, or I'm just waiting for the next performance.
I will have to admit sometimes when I'm just having a bad day and I want to...
You listen to that?
...indulge
you
my sadness. Oh, yes.
Oh, Sia.
You go home.
Oh, Sia. Oh.
I'm not laughing. Oh, really? Go home and in the dark, you YouTube that.
Oh, no, Sia, really.
Do you know who's having a really bad day?
Who?
An auctioneer.
Tell me.
In this huge flop that occurred with a Porsche. So this Porsche is a very rare Nazi era Porsche. It's very strange looking. It looks like a drop of water and it's blue, which is kind of weird, but yeah. Anyway,
a Nazi Porsche.
Yeah. Mm? Well, it's just from that era. I don't know why they've called it that. They could have used some other, like maybe just given the dates, you know. There it is, 1939.
Okay, yeah.
It's a Porsche Type 64 that it's called. Obviously facing a bit of controversy because of the era that it comes from.
Yeah. So, not the Porsche's fault. The Porsche didn't buy into Nazism. Porsche.
So it goes on auction on... last Saturday night at RM Sotheby's in Monterey. It was supposed to sell at about 20 million. That's where the reserve was sitting at 20 million, right?
All right.
So the auctioneer starts, or the auctioneer rather, starts the bidding at $13 million.
Mm-hmm.
But because of his Dutch accent, it sounded like he was saying 30 million.
$30 million.
Yes. So also the person operating the screen display thought the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that he put up the first bid at $30 million.
30.
Yay, yay, yay.
The next bid was $14 million, but the screen showed 40. The error continued all the way up to $17 million when the screen showed $70 million. The crowd was erupting in cheers and shouts as the price on the screen showed that the Porsche was selling for a record-shattering price. But at $17 million, the auctioneers stopped the bids and announced that the screen showing $70 million was wrong. He said, "I'm saying 17, not 70. Martin Tenholder is his name.
Poor Martin. What a rough day.
Apparently, the crowd was all booing and shouting at the error. So there were no more bids after $17 million, and it had to be pulled from the lot because the car didn't meet reserve. But yeah,
oy.
It was a big mistake.
Shame, poor Martin.
Very embarrassing and costly for Sotheby's.
Mm. Wait, but does this mean there was someone who was actually open to paying that much for the car? If they were misinterpreting it as $40 million?
Yeah, which also makes me think. How much money do people have to put out on a car that they don't actually know what it's really valued at?
Yes.
Well, this is what happens is some people, I suppose, pitch up at auctions and they know what the price is. They know what they're willing to pay. Other people just pitch up and go, whatever.
So it reminds me on Friday last week.
To work with no budget.
No.
I have a lot of jewelry from, not a lot. I mean, I have some pieces of jewelry from
past relationships. Don't lie, you're very rich. You got a lot of jewelry.
That I don't wear anymore.
Yeah.
Like engagement rings.
You're gonna auction it off?
Wedding bands, necklaces that were made, etc., watches. So I did some investigation. I went to your jewelers and had everything evaluated, right?
Uh-huh.
And the valuation...
Do you just take it in a big sack and empty it out?
Yeah, basically.
I'm also envisioning that.
The valuation came to about 130,000 rand.
Leanne Moore.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So that's a pretty penny. Well, that's pretty good for my credit overdraft, etc. That'll sure. Clap that. I might as well get rid of the stuff. So I said to the jeweler, what would happen if I sold? And she said, you will not get... This is the insurance value. So you won't get this value for them. So I said, well... And they wouldn't buy them because the stones are so specific. There were specific topaz stones and champagne colored.
I told you had lots of jewels.
Yeah, you collect them through all your relationships, you know. They remain gifts. So off I went to, for the first time in my life, an auctioneer. Oh. I went to an auctioneer on Friday.
And tell me what happened.
And it was very interesting. They take the insured value and they divide it by four. And that's what you get for it. That's what it goes to auction at.
That's no good.
That's the starting price.
Yeah. So the starting price for all of that is 40,000 rand.
But they could get up to 120 or whatever.
Or who knows, depending on the demand.
It's not likely.
Is that the starting price or the reserve price?
That's the reserve price.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So some items were listed as between 5,000 and 8,000 rand.
So you're still going to do it?
Well, I signed a piece of paper and I think it's done.
What do you mean?
You signed something without checking what it was?
I said to him, please just tell me the truth here. Do I go to a jeweler and sell these? He said, no one's buying diamonds at the moment. The economy is so bad. No one's buying gold. I said, and what happens if I hold on to them? He said, nothing. It's going to be the same situation.
Oh,
so I felt like I was left with no choice.
I don't know. This doesn't sound good.
And he's a reputable auctioneer.
You wouldn't have got a second opinion?
I tried to, but the other auctioneer that I phoned, they do only artwork and furniture in Joburg, and they do jewelry only in Cape Town. So I'd be interested if anybody has any advice on this.
Yeah, if you have any advice for Leanne, please, message us now, 0797482090, or you can email it.
Yeah, look, I'm not a fair with stories of diamonds.
Yeah, no, see, and
no,
I don't,
and this is a first for me as well.
I don't have any jewelry, so I can't really help you on this one.
No, but I can talk to you about the string bangles my best friend made for me at camp 1 year. Or I could tell you about the piece of jewelry I bought outside the Union Buildings, the guy who was carving it out of wood.
So you're not likely to bid $70 million
for a Porsche.
Wooden
jewelry?
No.
You bought wooden jewelry?
I mean, it's a souvenir. That's all I could tell you about.
Okay.
Hey, is that something you discuss when you exit a relationship?
Who keeps the jewelry? Yeah, definitely. You have to discuss it.
So you don't really need to discuss it? Because
what is the unwritten rule?
A gift remains a gift. If it was given to you as a gift, you keep it.
Including an engagement ring?
Yep, definitely an engagement ring. Yeah. You know, if you're a guy and you get engaged, you buy that engagement ring. Even if things don't work out, she gets to keep it.
Really?
Yeah. The whole point of it is you're making a deposit effectively on a life together.
So you can't say to the person you're divorcing, but my mother gave you that painting.
No.
He gets to keep it if it was given.
No, it doesn't. I don't think that's all fair.
Sia would rather go around the house burning everything down than leave everything in
there. Yes.
Sia's no longer going to give gifts.
Well, I mean, even Mariah Carey's Schnorrer ex-billionaire fiancé at a point was asking for the engagement ring back. And this is a billionaire who says, actually.
I suppose if it's a sentimental stone, like from the family.
Look, you can ask for it, but the fact is that once a gift is given, you can't take it back.
You can ask me, but I'm going to say no.
Don't ask Leanne. She's telling you right up front. Now, Donald Trump is trying to buy Greenland. I don't know if you heard about this. Greenland is a huge piece of what belongs to Denmark. I mean, it's in terms of territorial size, it is the biggest part of Denmark.
I didn't know that, that it was Denmark.
Yeah, it belongs to the Danes. Anyway, they've said that it's not for sale. But here's Trump. And this is not so weird, by the way, because Alaska was purchased. Louisiana was purchased. America's good at buying up territory. If you go back, Thomas Jefferson paid.
Louisiana was purchased.
It wasn't just Louisiana. It was called the Louisiana Purchase, but it was most of the south of America that was bought from France by Thomas Jefferson in the early 1800s. Yeah, because places like Florida and Louisiana and Alabama, they didn't belong to America. The original 13 colonies ended in the Carolinas. And then Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, decided we need more territory. We need for expansion and everything else. Can I buy this? And the French at that point were like, well, we are in a revolution. Yes, you can have this land.
Wow.
And they bought it.
So what would
Americans
Trump
bought it.
Want with Greenland?
Well, who knows? Maybe he wants to build a hotel.
Lest we forget.
Listen,
I don't know. It got released somehow. It's just something we talked about. Denmark essentially owns it. We're very good allies with Denmark. We protect Denmark like we protect large portions of the world. So the concept came up, and I said, certainly I'd be strategically, it's interesting, and we'd be interested. But we'll talk to them a little bit. It's not number one on the burner, I can tell you that. Essentially, it's a large real estate deal. A lot of things could be done. It's hurting Denmark very badly because they're losing almost $700 million a year carrying it. So they carry it at a great loss. And strategically for the United States, it would be nice.
So he's thinking
it's
about
it's just business
nice.
As
it
usual for
nice.
Him.
Alaska was bought from Russia by, I think, Teddy Roosevelt.
Hmm.
It could have been another president, but that. So a lot of America is actually free market. We went in, it wasn't conquered. In fact, you could even argue, you know, the slave states, most of the slave states were bought from the French. So you could even say, at the foundation of America, 1776, those states weren't part of the United States of America.
Mm.
And then they bought them from the French and inherited a whole lot of crap, including slavery. I mean, there was slavery in the North at that point, but it's an interesting discussion. And this is why it makes so much sense to read history books from time to time. Then things don't look so bizarre. Like, everybody's losing their mind about Donald Trump buying Greenland.
Mm.
And they go, well, this is so ridiculous. It's actually not.
Mm.
Alaska used to belong to Russia.
Yeah.
The Americans bought that. I think there are a couple of islands as well that they've bought over the years.
I wonder what the price tag is.
Well, on Greenland, if it's costing the Danes money and it could really boost their economy, imagine the deal they could do there. I wouldn't close the door to that. And just because Donald Trump is kind of a ridiculous guy doesn't mean that it's a bad idea. If you're America, you're going to buy some ice. I mean, that's not a bad investment if global warming is happening.
There were three things that I've always held from when President Trump was kicking off his whole campaign to mm-hmm. become president. I always knew that if he were to land in the White House, I would not be disappointed by the First Lady Melania. She would even garden in high heels, and we've seen that already.
Yes.
I always knew that the kids would never disappoint as well, because we've never seen the Trump kids, you know, roll out of clubs naked, yep. be in any scandals.
And this is the point, right? People hate Ivanka, and they hate Jared, and they hate the other, Eric and Donald Jr. And they, look, Eric and Donald Jr. I don't like because they hunt, and they trophy hunt, and they hunt big game, which, you know, apart from antelope, I have a problem with. But that's just me. Are these people the most embarrassing people who've ever been in the White House? Mm-mm. Hell no. Look at what Ronald Reagan's children ended up being.
And then the third was when it comes to business. Whether you like Trump or not, you don't have to invite him to a tea party.
No.
But will he make business moves?
Mm.
Yes.
Thank you, Sia.
So it's not a dramatic end of the world thing when he says, actually, let's look at buying something.
All right. You want to hear a voice note from Graham? Are you in the mood for this?
Yep.
Oh, are you sure?
Give you a moment to consider that one.
Give you a moment to reconsider. There's... No?
Okay, fine.
Let's try this. Here's Graham. He has this to say. Graham, good morning.
Can't America buy South Africa? I would happily be a colony of Donald Trump's. At least we know that we would have proper health care. We wouldn't be robbed blind by these ANC oligarchs. At least we know that there'd be working toilets in the townships and in state schools. That would be good.
All right. Well,
proper health care.
I don't know so much. They've got their own health care issues, but nothing like ours.
I think I'd rather have my medical aid here.
Well, that's the point. And if you carry on living here, you might not even be able to have that.
I know. That's the scariest. Yeah. Well, something that happened last week that we may not have known about is that travelers from 7 countries
yes.
no longer need a visa to come to South Africa.
Oh, okay. So we've made it easier for them to come to us.
Yes.
Tell us more.
So these countries are Qatar.
Yes.
Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
The United Arab Emirates.
Yes.
And New Zealand.
There's a bit of a theme going on here, except for New Zealand.
Yeah, there was. As of last Thursday, they no longer require a visa to visit South Africa for holidays, conferencing, or business meetings.
Hmm.
These are 4 of 7 countries that will be granted visa-free status. The others, where visas have been waived, are for Ghana, Cuba, and I never know how to pronounce it, Sao Tome and Principe.
Sao Tome and Principe.
Principe.
Oh, Principe.
So, we really do love making it easy for shitty countries to send their people to us. And then we complain about immigration and we complain about, you know, illegals from Zimbabwe and Malawi and Mozambique. We seem to have like a really horrible rule for some people. We have to get visas and it's difficult.
Mm.
And then a country like Cuba or Sao Tome and Principe, you don't have to come here with a visa.
Well, a lot of the reasoning behind this is so that government can then negotiate to have the same applied in reverse.
Yeah, but I'm not in a hurry to go to Cuba or Sao Tome and Principe, if you don't mind.
But for instance, Qatar, they have already come on board and they've waived visas for us to attend Qatar, and that's going to help with Qatar's FIFA World Cup 2022.
Right. Very good. Someone says, this is Gucho, says, sentimental this morning, are we? Makes absolutely no sense for the US to buy Greenland. Please read up on this. Okay. I'm not... What do I know about this? Just talking about what Trump said.
I don't even think Trump knows.
No.
He's like, yeah, we kind of, it would be nice.
Well, you know, Kucha, I didn't know if you're the U.S. consultant to Greenland.
Ooh.
But maybe you can fill us in. Also, fuck that guy who wants the U.S. to buy South Africa.
Oh, Graham.
Well, there we go. Thanks very much. All right. Lovely Anne. I get you, babe. That's not your shit. Wishing you peace of mind and acceptance. Shitty countries, come on through.
Yeah.
So, some very interesting points of view there. That's coming from Ruth. And then someone says, New Zealand will never waiver South African visas as the entire country will empty. Beatrice. Hey, ass, I had the same situation a while back and wanted to sell my engagement ring. I could get nothing for it. No one wants secondhand diamonds.
Yeah.
I took it to Australia thinking I would get more for it here, but to no avail. I actually now want to give it to someone who genuinely wants to propose to their partner and can't afford to.
Oh, okay. I feel so much better.
But I'm perplexed as to how I'll get people like that, not coming from a story about love and engagement and sell it with a ring. Madness. My diamond ring was the quickest depreciating item I've ever owned.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Don't invest in jewelry, guys.
I would have stayed with a Christmas cracker ring if I had known. Lots of love from Emma in Cape Town.
I completely agree. And also what's interesting is, you know, I was given a diamond to do with it what I wanted to do. And I had it set in a ring.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as you set it, it depreciates in value.
But you can just prize it out, can't you? Go to a jeweler.
I don't know.
Maybe they can take it out for you. Leanne, this is now according to Spore. Spore says, the $130,000 is the insurance value, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So Spore says, so just make sure the jewelry gets
lost. Sure, that would be very fraudulent.
Now, speaking of South Africans making it easier for other countries to come here without visas, Angel Jones is regularly talking about the skills exodus and the brain drain and how South Africans come back. She was on TV talking about how there are lots of South Africans who leave and then come back.
Right, but here's a different side to this.
This is from ENCA, by the way.
The report shows South Africans who leave the country often change their minds and come back. Let's find out why. I'm joined by Angel Jones from Homecoming Revolution, an African headhunting firm who released the Homecoming Trends Report for 2019. Angel, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. So we're hearing from some experts that people are actually leaving. Your survey and report is showing that they're coming back as well.
Absolutely. We look at the trends mostly. It was done with a sample of 2,000 South Africans abroad. The key reasons people are leaving, number one is career. The second is a sense of economic stability. And the third is for improved lifestyle. Mostly they're financial services people, 21% abroad, technology people, 20% of them, healthcare, advisory, consumer engineering. A lot of professionals are abroad. But the good news is that 34% of them want to return home and 22% are undecided.
Yeah.
And we know that the pull factors, apart from friends and family and sense of belonging and making a difference, really can be in the kind of work that employers can show them.
Yeah. So is it because they're homesick as well? Is it because they have more hope in our current administration to make things better in the country or not?
The real thing is that everybody yearns for home, and many of the people abroad actually run the country down because they miss South Africa so much.
Did he just ask her, is it because they have hope in the current administration? I don't know that anyone in the world is walking around with that delusion.
Not right now.
It's not right now.
Maybe when Cyril first came in and there was
Ramaphoria. Ramaphoria. That's gone away. That's really been squandered. All right.
Yeah.
There's just a little bit of info. I mean, it's interesting that a lot of South Africans have come back, and I think the main reason would probably be friends and family, right? That would be the reason that I wouldn't want to leave in a hurry.
And maybe because Australia can be very boring.
Well, you've been there.
Yeah.
It's dreadfully boring. Okay. We've got Sarah Jane Bao, who's on the line. She's a psychic. We spoke to her in April. Do you remember she told us a couple of interesting things? And we'd like to get an update on what's happening in the spirit world right now. So we decided we'd check in with Sarah Jane again. And an update on how closer she thinks Gareth, Leanne, and Sia are to their first readings. Yes. Also her predictions for South Africa. So all of that on the way for you with our psychic friend. Just before we get to that, Leanne has three tips for you on how you should not open an email. In other words, what your opening line should not be.
It, correct.
Yeah.
Not actually opening your emails.
No, because I mean, we can't help you to open your emails.
Yeah,
we don't have your logins or anything.
No. So there are ways that you start your email that a lot of people do. It's always difficult.
Yes.
Especially when hope you're well.
Because also sometimes you don't want to make it a long-winded, so people don't care.
So the one thing you don't want to do is dear sir or madam. It's just way too formal. You're on email here.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Right.
The other thing is starting an email by going, hi, I thought I would circle back.
Oh, God.
So you really don't want to do that just because it's jargon and some people really hate it.
And it sounds like you haven't really, you're just trying to open an email. You're just trying to get the conversation going and, you know, just get to the point, really.
Yeah. The other thing is to whom it may concern.
Oof.
It comes across as spammy.
Yeah.
And some people immediately think, well, I don't know this person, and they might delete it. It also feels like you're just too lazy to find a name. Or that you're mass mailing indiscriminately. The other thing.
Yeah, I always put the name in. You've got to do that.
Yeah,
that's
dear
the very,
so-and-so.
That's the least, right?
Yeah. The other one is Happy Monday.
Oh.
This is a sugar-coated reminder that it's the toughest day of the work week. People don't like it.
Mm-mm.
Or alternatively, any other day. Happy Tuesday or whatever.
Well,
it should be reserved for holidays and birthdays.
Do you have any idea of what you should say?
So, for example, you might say something kind and friendly instead. You might say, hope your week is off to a good start.
Okay, that's nice. I've done that a few times. All right, good. I'm not completely cold.
No.
All right.
And then the other one, the last one is, you don't know me, but...
Oh, that's
it's
terrible.
It's just pointing out that it's just unnecessary, really.
Yes.
To emphasize that you're a stranger.
Yes.
Just get to the point. So rather just say something like, I'm writing to you today to invite you to the annual company meeting on July the 5th.
Yeah, that'll work.
You don't know me, but it's so silly.
Sometimes just say what it is, right? It sounds so obvious, but just say what it is.
Just get to the point.
Yeah. Like people don't always want a long explanation. Sometimes they just want... This is the email. The purpose of this email is.
Yes, that's a good one.
Please try to put something in the subject line.
Yeah, for sure. Because people need to go back to it as well. They're not going to see it in their inbox if it doesn't
You can never find the thing if you're looking for it and it was about like your tax certificate or whatever it might have been that you were looking for.
Mm.
People complicate stuff.
Email etiquette.
Yes, damn you. Get it right. All right, so Sarah Jane's on the line. We spoke to her a while ago. Hey, Sarah Jane, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Good, 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 good. We thought we'd check in with you and find out how the spirit world is going. Do you have some updates for us?
Yeah, I have some updates for you.
All right.
The world is moving a lot faster into a higher vibration, like I said to you before. And it's almost as though a whole load of people in the world have really gone through a lot of suffering, like really, really bad stuff where they thought they weren't going to get through it. And they've got through it the other side, and they're far more spiritual in their approach to life. They understand karma. They're interested in horoscopes. They understand that it's good to be good to people and love others. And now what's happening is there's a second wave of people which seem to be going through all of their problems. And instead of having to struggle by themselves, the people which have got through the veil, as it was, onto the other side in this higher frequency, are now going to turn back and start helping others deal with their problems so that they don't have to do it themselves. So it's very interesting how quickly the vibration of the earth is quickening and how people are managing to evolve and become better people.
Can you explain that whole Mercury and retrograde thing that people were throwing around a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, the whole Mercury, the Mercury in retrograde is basically when it looks like Mercury is going backwards. So basically Mercury rules the mind, and it's any form of communication. So that's your car, it's your laptop, your telephone, having conversations with people.
Uh-oh.
And it's sort of been put out there that what happens is you experience something that you have to deal with, and you have to learn lessons from it. And when Mercury goes into retrograde, you redo those experiences. And you usually find that things are there to torment you. So your computer breaks down and your car won't start. And people take you the wrong way when you're having conversations with them. But you see, that's what I'm talking about, how the world is sort of going into a higher frequency, that Mercury in retrograde is now something that rolls off everybody's lips. But 5 years ago, nobody knew what it was. So basically, it's just a very good time to sort of heighten those communication skills that you have with other people. But because it's been put out there that it's a bad thing, people sort of will bad things onto them. And anything that goes wrong as far as communication goes, oh, it's Mercury in retrograde. But it's actually a very good learning experience for us.
All right, let's go back to the spirit world thing, because I know that there are people who make a decision every day based on that kind of what's really going on in the spirit world. I don't understand a lot of the stuff, I won't lie, but maybe you can help explain it to me. Are there evil spirits? Are there bad things that are waiting to pounce upon us and make our lives difficult and complicated?
I'll tell you the shortcut route, plain and simple.
All right.
Our thoughts create our reality.
Right.
Now, we're so plugged into mass media, and the kids go to school, they get told what to do all the time, that we forget to actually control our thoughts. And I guarantee if you sit down with a little book and you write down exactly what it is you want to manifest in your life, at the very most, it's going to take 3 months for that to start kicking in. And I've tried it over and over. If you're ever in a very stressful situation, cut yourself off. It's like what the Indians, the Eastern philosophy of meditation, where you basically cut off from the worry that's getting to you, and you just sort of release your mind and you focus on your goal. And when you're focusing on a very clear goal, it's like walking on water. You're actually creating a miracle in your life. So you can't look down halfway through if you've decided you want to change your job and suddenly all these job offers start coming and then you start doubting yourself and thinking that you can't do it. So there are negative forces, but most of them come from within our own mind, where we would prefer to be negative. Oh, he doesn't really like me. Oh, this will never happen to me. Instead of going, I'm going to achieve that. That's the person that I like. I'm going to attract something into my life. So it all starts with your thoughts, which people aren't realizing how powerful the energy actually is.
All right. Sia and Leanne have some questions for you, as usual. So go ahead, guys. This is your chance.
Okay. Right. So there's no baby yet.
No,
for Leanne.
No, definitely not.
No, she's definitely.
Oh, Leanne, just you wait. You've still got another 7 or 8 years to go. You're going to be a mom. I promise you.
Okay.
Oh gosh, I'd make my mother very happy.
All right. Okay.
I know.
7 or 8 years to go for Leanne. So that's quite a window.
Jesus Christ. How old would you
be? Yeah, well, babies don't get made overnight. You know, you have to find that perfect person.
Yeah.
You have to get the energy right. I mean, most people can actually remember the night that they've made a baby. So it's very passionate. Hmm. Babies don't just come from having, like, a quickie round the corner.
They can. They really can. I've seen this happen.
Yep.
Not when you're in your 40s. You need love.
All right.
You do need love.
Sarah Jane, I don't mean to be crass, but you do think that Leanne will be a biological mother, as in she will make the baby herself?
Why is this such a difficult concept for you, Sia?
No, you don't. Girl, I love you, but 7 years is a lot. Those eggs will be scrambled at that point. I thought maybe like adoption was open, or
amazing child, and everything that she did in her teenage years and put her parents through is exactly what's going to come back to her. But I think because she's an inquisitive woman and she wants to know what's going on in life, and I don't think she's going to pass from this lifetime without experiencing motherhood. And it probably won't be one, it'll probably be two. And it'll be the person of her dreams. It'll be absolute love and passion. And I really do see, maybe you're going to be contacting me in 4 years' time and saying, guess what's happened? But she'll definitely be a mother.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
That's very encouraging.
All right. But that wasn't your question. Well, you had a question, Leanne. So go ahead.
I'm trying to think. I think last time we spoke about...
weight as well.
Yeah. Nothing's happened in that sphere, really.
Yes, so, but have you changed anything? Remember, you've also got to put your part into it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got to be doing the exercise. You've got to be cutting out the fizzy drinks. I mean, don't get yourself stressed up about diets and things like that, because, again, you're negatively imprinting into your brain that it's never going to work. But I promise you, about 10 minutes every night of just closing your eyes and sending love to your body and loving the body that you've got. Remember, you are beautiful exactly the way you are.
You are beautiful.
Because you feel like you might...
Exactly what you are. All right,
thank
so hang
you.
On.
Sarah Jane. You guys are terrible.
I know, we are terrible, but but you know what? We spread cheer every morning. We try to put back into the universe what we get out.
So just some clarification from my point of view. We left the last time we spoke on a bit of an odd note, because I was told that I have a lot of energy for sleeping with women.
Yes, a lot. See, it's been sleeping around, yeah.
Is there any clarification there?
Well, I assume by the way that you're talking that it's not necessarily women that you are into.
You cracked the code.
There we go.
All right.
So that sometimes happens when you're doing a very quick reading, that you'll just get the energy that comes through. And so it's very important to ask beforehand, which obviously I wasn't really, because it's pretty personal. I wasn't going to ask you air, who are you into, what are you into, or anything like that. So you just take that as flipping it over and having it the type of the person that you choose, whether it's male or female. So although I did say about the women, and I didn't say you wanted to sleep with a lot of women, but you've got a lot of love inside your heart. And you need to find that right person that's going to reflect it back to you, because falling in love deeply is the most fantastic feeling in this world. And you will excel at business, you'll excel at everything once you've got that special person. And I remember I did see before that there'd been some sort of hurtful situation or a breakup that had happened, and you needed to get through that. But what I would suggest to you is, again, take that book and write down the qualities that you expect to find in somebody else. And I promise you, that person is already out there looking for you. And when you fall in love, you're going to knock everybody sideways, and you're going to drive everybody crazy inside the studio going on and on about this person.
See, I do know.
So I am sorry about that I got it the wrong way.
No,
we're just teasing. But Sia, you were, someone was looking for you this morning.
Oh,
just this morning.
My goodness.
Just this morning he was being headhunted.
Now, Sarah Jane, can I be as...
He's got a good brain.
Do I have to write down emotional qualities, or can I write down very practical qualities and traits that I'm looking for?
You write down everything, and you'd be amazed at how quickly it'll come to you. If more people in this world realize how powerful thought is, I mean, it's like Wi-Fi. You think you can't see Wi-Fi, it's the same as you can't see thought. So you write down the qualities of what you're wanting in every area, and you keep on opening up that book, you keep on looking at it, maybe do a few doodles. And I'm talking about 10 minutes before you go to sleep at night, just cutting off from everything. It doesn't matter what the worry or the problem is. And you write down exactly what it is that you want to attract in a partner. That person will come to you very quickly. But remember, it's got to fit into your path of destiny before you incarnate on the planet. So if you're single for a time, that's what you're meant to be. You're meant to learn, you're meant to grow, and then when you're ready, the perfect mate will come along. But you're not going to be left single. You're going to have a very happy long-term relationship. You're a good person. There's no reason why you should attract anything bad into your life, and you just need to go for it. The only person who's standing in your way is yourself.
I'm writing down that average salary. I'm writing down the 3-month bank
Sarah
statement.
Jane, you did get it. You got it very right with me when you said travel, and I mean, I've done like an extraordinary amount of that in the last couple of months, and you did say that was going to happen. I can't remember what else you said to me.
Was it not business?
I said that you were going to hit the world stage, that it wasn't just going to be South Africa, that you were going to be growing to be more of a voice in the world besides just in South Africa. Yeah, are just in South Africa,
I'm
but you
sorry.
Know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I've disappointed you on that front.
Well, no, you have listeners in different countries.
Yes.
Think about that.
But something's going to happen. I mean, South Africa is changing, and you're a very, very important voice. And Gareth, I feel myself, you have this very strong light that comes out from you. So although you don't understand a lot of the spirit stuff, you still have the spiritual attributes. You've been through your own stress and traumas. You've had to sort of find your way forward. And you've got a very strong light. Otherwise, you wouldn't be as popular as you were. People like listening to you. You pick them up. You make them feel good. And that's a really that's a real gift to bring into the world.
All
and you're intelligent, too. So
well, that's
you're
very
an
nice
important part of South Africa's change.
All right. Well, thank you.
I agree.
Let's talk about South Africa for a second, because that's probably more interesting to a lot of people. So we are obviously going through some difficulty in this country at the moment. What is your advice?
Well, first of all, it feels like maybe the leading party is trying to create some instability in this country so we can bring the army in and it can be a state of emergency, and that's not going to happen. I'll tell you what is really happening, and I work a lot with women's rights, and over the last year, the women are really starting to come together, especially on Facebook. You've got 1,000 Women, One Voice. You've got Total Shutdown. And now you've got this new group that got 35,000 members in the matter of about a week and a half. And because you're not a woman, you wouldn't have been on these groups.
No, I never get invited.
It's called South Africa Women Fight Back. And it is incredible. The women are talking. You're not seeing it out there. But behind the scenes, on WhatsApp groups and on Facebook, the women are getting motivated. And I've got a feeling it's the women which are going to come forward and have a very strong voice. It's the feminine, the divine feminine, which is going to change this country, because the women are suffering. Women are being beaten up. They're being raped. They're being murdered. And we've actually had enough. And just watch how these women are going to rise. You're going to start seeing demonstrations and protests.
Wow.
And the men might think they've got it cracked, but it's the women which are going to save the country.
All right. Well, listen, I'd be thrilled for any savior to come in any way, shape, or form. And women have in South Africa always stood up for the children, the public at large.
Yeah.
You know,
it's been happening.
Human rights. These are things that women have done. In fact, we celebrated Women's Day just the other day, where we obviously paid heed to those women who marched on the union buildings all those years ago. So this has happened before.
Exactly. I think it's the same sort of thing that's going to happen. So Leanne, see if you can find it's called SA Women Unite, SA Women Fight Back.
Yes.
And just have a look at some of the conversations there. They're quite something.
How about money? Come on, Sarah Jane, let's get to money.
Are we all going to have money?
Or are we going to have none?
Well, we all limit ourselves. Oh, well, you know, and so many people are plugged into the rat race. But I tell you what seems to be happening in this country is it's very easy to start a sideline business. But you're finding that people are not just doing that 9-to-5, stuck in the rat race. They've got no, you know, everything's getting more expensive. And again, it goes down to your thoughts. Do you want more money? What are you limiting yourself with? Write it down. That's my big key word at the moment. Once you're writing it down, you're bringing it down into this reality. You're programming your mind every time you're looking at it. But I think in this country, the key is to have a second or a third business where you're getting other money coming through. And if you can undercut supermarkets and you can say you're a web developer, you don't have to charge the general rates that people are paying for websites. Put your own rate there. Make it a little bit less. Give people a bargain. And that's how people will be making money. But money is tough at the moment.
Sure.
But again, write it down. Work out what it is that you want and how much you need to earn. It all starts with yourself.
All right. So since you're connected to the spirit world, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you about quickly. These Krugersdorp killers, there's this horrible family of people on the West Rand in Johannesburg. I mean, there are probably many horrible families on the West Rand of Johannesburg. But let's just focus on this one for the moment. These people were satanic killers. And the mother or the aunt or whoever she is she's gone for 13 life sentences to jail. She was sentenced yesterday. The daughter, who's also, she looks like she's, you know, two clicks away from complete Armageddon, the nephew or the son or whatever his name is, some guy called Valentine, he was involved. Do you know anything about this story, and have you felt anything in the spirit world from these awful people?
No, I haven't been following that story. It's just so grotesque. But what I will tell you is that Satanism is all about self-worship. You have absolutely no conscience, whatever it is, at all. Whatever it is you want to do, you just do it. And those are the scary people. Those are the people which need to be locked up, because there is no conscience. If they want to kill, they'll kill. If they want to cut up, eat the body, whatever it is that they're wanting to do. So that's what Satanism is. It's absolutely self-rule, with not having to answer to anybody. And people like that do need to be locked away. And what will happen is if they suffer and they suffer and they suffer, something will wake up in them. There is good inside everybody. It might be buried very, very, very deep. But I would say that if they're locked away, they probably, either they might get taken out while they're in prison, because I mean, our prison service is another side which needs to be worked on, because we're not doing any good for any of the prisoners inside. But I would say something will wake them up, or else they'll just pass away and die. There's no place for people like that in this world.
They
but Satanism
last long,
is a very real kind of religion.
Sure. What about Donald Trump? I mean, he looms over the world at the moment as the president of the United States. He's a very powerful personality. A lot of people cannot stand him. They think he's a dangerous, divisive, wicked man. Other people say, oh, he's just ego, but he's not really that harmful, and he's doing a couple of good things. What is your barometer tell you?
Well, because I don't have TV, so I don't get caught up in all the hype.
Good for you.
There is so much hype about this person. It's impossible to even think one thing good, because everybody's so hysterical about what they're writing about in the newspapers. And I have to say, I just think that most of the time he just says what he says because he likes the shock factor. He knows that if he gets the shock factor, he actually gets the press. I would say that he's going to get America on the right track. I would say there's a few difficult things that he's going to have to deal with. But he's not coming from a bad place. I think most of the time it's just tongue-in-cheek. And if you want to be sensitive and you want to take offense by some of the things that he says about women, then that's your choice. Or you can rather focus on your own life, let him get on with running the country and doing the business side, and just make sure that your own house is in order. But I must say there is a huge amount of press and hype that goes out there that people have become so indoctrinated, you can't even think of the name Trump without getting infuriated.
Yeah, I also am interested in something you said. Now, you don't watch TV or you don't have TV. I think a lot of people are moving away from that, but a lot of people are on their phones the whole time. Now, what is the energy around that? What's the takeaway that we should be aware of when it comes to our phones? Because people are on there the whole time, and some of it is not that good for you, right?
Exactly. Well, that's why you've got to work out for yourself. I mean, it's very interesting that over the weekend there's this group called Extinction Rebellion. And they're all into the fact that climate change is going to take away, well, we're going to die, horrific deaths, and the animals are all going to die. And it's horrific, and yes,
deaths.
It might be true. But they were trying to show me the videos, and the videos were of animals suffering and earthquakes, and it was horrible.
Ugh.
It was so horrible that I couldn't
see
actually
that.
Watch it.
Ugh.
And,
you don't want to see that? That's awful.
Well, exactly. And you see, that as soon as you start to go to that, do I want to sit here and go, okay, we're all going to die. In the next 10 years, there's going to be tidal waves and there's going to be catastrophic earthquakes. You don't want to think like that. You want to be aware of the input that you can put into the world and think of a really good future. It's like South Africa. We can all sit here and watch all our friends leaving to go overseas, and we can all live in fear because all of these terrible stories are coming down through our phones. But there's some really good stories. I mean, you get out there onto the street and there's a whole sideline of people which are connecting, no matter what the culture, no matter what the religion. And those are the stories which we should be looking at. So I would really avoid, if it's got that film, if you're on Facebook and there's a video that's showing you dogs in Korea which are going to be burnt alive and it's all fuzzy, don't press on it. Don't look at it. It's not saying you're turning away from the problems in the world, but rather focus on yourself, on getting really beautiful pictures. And it does say biblically that when two or more are gathered in my name. So, for example, if you three started deciding and having a little bit of fun to see how quickly you can manifest stuff, like I want to see a yellow car and see how long it takes for you to see a yellow car, you'll start being able to use that internal light that you have to create a better world.
Last question from my side.
We've got very little time.
We have a new team member, Gugu, and I'd just like to find out from you, what do you feel around him?
Yeah, let's have one or two things on Gugu so that we can...
Anything we should be aware of?
We can catch up on this later on.
Okay, well, Gugu's got some decisions to make. And Gugu's male, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, well, I see that his light's shining very bright. He's like a magnet at the moment. So if he's single, there's definitely somebody that's coming his way. Ooh. If he's in a relationship, he needs to realize the power that he has to manifest the life of his dreams. He mustn't second-guess himself. He's on the show. He's growing. It's going to get bigger and better. I'm told he needs to take a step back and view his life from the outside in and work out where he's going. In 1 year, 3 years, or 5 years, he's got lots of dreams and goals, but he needs to limit them down to just two or three so that he can give them the energy to manifest. He's already gone for gold, just the fact that he's working with you guys. Poor thing. But he's working with you guys, and things are just going to get better. But he needs to be aware of where his path is going so that he can steer his ship in the right direction.
Right.
Okay. Right, he's good. Not going to kill us.
Pardon?
He's not going to kill us. We shouldn't be fearful of that.
No, I don't think so. He might go a bit mad. Huh? I mean, you might have that sort of influence over him, but okay. He'll be fine. Just get a straight jacket and lock him away for a few weeks, okay. Few years. Well,
Sarah Jane, listen, it's always nice to check in with you. Have a wonderful week, and thank you for this this Tuesday check-up. It's kind of like we have to get our spirits aligned, and you're that's what you're here for.
No, that's that, and you're doing a great job. You've got it. You've really got it. Thank you so much for your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, very nice. There we go.
Yeah.
Our own resident psychic. We get her every now and then, and she sometimes makes predictions on all of us and on the country. And go and manifest a yellow car. Of course, I think we're a couple of steps ahead there because we know Dori drives a yellow car.
Oh, and she's on her way in.
She'll be driving in any minute. Yeah. So that's how I know. Am I spoiling it?
Guaranteed.
Is that me spoiling it?
Well, I'm still stuck on Leanne's having a baby.
I know. Jesus. I mean, that's really...
Naturally.
That'll be quite something.
It would be.
Hmm.
Well, let's see.
And you're having it with someone you love.
That's the most exciting part. I don't really want the baby.
Yay, more jewelry.
Yeah, she's already got enough jewelry for the next relationship or three. All right. Thanks, everybody. It's a busy morning. Great start to the day. A lot of people really enjoy the psychic. That's why we get her back every now and then. Sarah Jane and Sia, I'm glad we've cleared up your love life.
Yeah, I didn't want to ask about her bike thing again.
What she was saying about you was basically that she didn't know you were into guys, but she still thinks you're a whore.
Yes, because she didn't correct the part about promiscuity. No. Just the sex. The sex of the person.
That's it, yeah. It's really, otherwise, it's for her, it's all the same. Yeah.
Oh, dear. You're still whoring. What you get up to. Oh.
The things you do see are behind closed doors.
Hey, Richard.
Yeah, Richard. Richard, who messaged us this morning to say that he saw Sia on Tinder in Cape Town over the weekend. Richard, now you know Sia is interested.
You know what you're getting yourself into.
It's nice and superficial, like all of us. I'm not going to pretend to be any better. He looked at your picture and then suddenly he was, okay, yeah, sure, I'll talk to you. But before that, not interested. And maybe you should rethink your picture on Tinder, Richard, if Sia just swiped right past you.
Maybe he claims he didn't see you.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything.
Maybe he had so many matches. He was just,
so many.
Your guys came down. Yo.
Did you hit the jackpot, Sia?
You get digmatized.
All right, on that note, cheers. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.